The show is brought to you by Organifi. Organifi Green Juice promises to deliver all the healthy superfoods you need in just one drink. It's a green powder that promises to deliver endless energy, mental clarity, and fewer sugar cravings. As a loyal listener of this show, you'll receive 15% off your order. My personal favorite is their Sunrise to Sunset Bundle, as it includes three of the best sellers. Use my promo code WRESTLING15 to get 15% off your order today. That's OrganifiShop.com. Organifi spelled O-R-G-A-N-I-F-I. Organifi, O-R-G-A-N-I-F-I. So go to OrganifiShop.com and order yours today.
Fox Sports 1340 AM presents to you
WMER, Wrestling Marks of Excellence Radio, starring The Firm, J-Lo, Nephew, Corey, and Dr. D, bringing you the latest up-to-date information on professional wrestling and sports entertainment. Now, live from the Fox Sports 1340 studios in Hopewell, Virginia.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Wrestling Marks of Excellence here on 96.9 FM and 1340 AM, Fox Sports Radio. Hey, as always, I'm your host, Glenn Thomas. With me is the Wizard himself, Nephew Corey. What's going on, Wizard?
What's going on?
Nothing much, man. A lot going on in the world of professional wrestling right now. The SummerSlam card is shaping up. Monday Night Raw, we got Brock Lesnar turning on Paul Heyman. We got a new NXT champion, Tommaso Ciampa. Man, we got The Miz telling Daniel Bryan he should go back to the Indies. But let's start right there. Let's start with NXT. If you missed NXT from past Wednesday night, you would know that we have a new NXT champion, and that is Tommaso Ciampa, who defeated Aleister Black. If you don't know, you should know Tommaso Ciampa. This guy has been on a tear over the last year and a half. After shoulder surgery on the other shoulder, Tommaso Ciampa has still been a top heel. Some say in the company, I still think that's The Miz, but Tommaso Ciampa is your new NXT champion. Yo, what are your thoughts on Tommaso Ciampa unseating Aleister Black?
When I saw that match made, I was like, how do you have Tommaso lose? I didn't see a way that Aleister was winning that. I wouldn't have been surprised if he did, but I didn't see a way Aleister was winning. And don't get me wrong about Aleister Black. He's doing a great job. He definitely has a following. He's doing great on NXT. Can't say anything bad about him. It was something about his title reign, though. It just felt a little flat. It just felt like it's, well, here's the thing. Since he's won the belt, he won the belt at a difficult time. Let me put it that way. Aleister Black won it in the height of Tommaso versus Johnny, which every takeover that Aleister was featured on with the belt, it didn't even main event. Tommaso and Johnny main event. And it just seemed like that's where the focus was. And then it seemed like they were more prominently featuring Undisputed Era, specifically Adam Cole, as a champion more than Aleister Black. And it just felt like, how long is Aleister going to have? It definitely felt like the next big show they were going to have, Aleister was going to lose. I thought, honestly, Aleister would have lost the belt in Brooklyn. I honestly thought that. They took it off of me soon.
Right.
And Tommaso, he's the hottest thing they have right now. I have no objections to him being champion at all.
Me neither. And you can further the storyline with him and Gringago with the title. And that's what I like. They have a major feud. And, you know, many people say, I for one, don't like the NXT actually having call-ups every year. I think they should keep some people down. I think some of the call-ups they've had in the last 2 years.
Yeah, they got to slow that down because it seems like after the big Rumble, or especially after WrestleMania and SummerSlam, it seems like they're pulling people up. I don't think they need to do that. Granted, They've had enough people right now that that's been okay. But so many of those people are getting lost on the shuffle on the main roster.
I mean, Ty Dillinger.
Ty Dillinger, No Way Jose, Tyler Breeze, The Ascension.
Bobby Roode on Monday Night Raw.
You know what? I'm going to give them credit with Roode and Rollins. Excuse me. It seems like they're finally doing something with Rollins. They're finally doing something with him. And Bobby Roode has not been, he's been in something since he's been on the main roster. He has been in something. He was on WrestleMania on the main card.
Yes. Yes, he was.
You know what I'm saying? So he's been U.S. champion already. He's been prominently featured enough. It's just still weird to see him as a face, that they brought him up as a face. But, okay,
he's definitely a heel. He is the guy, and we'll jump to this a little bit later. He is a Randy Orton who should always be heel.
I agree with that to an extent. But I do like Face Orton in the sense of he's a draw as a face. And that's what I think I look at, is that Orton really draws the face.
But as a heel, he's more sadistic. He's more entertaining.
He's way better as a heel, absolutely. Absolutely.
He's way better as a heel. But, you know, we're talking about NXT. So I don't think they're – We'll go back. We'll get to the Randy Orton stuff when we talk about SmackDown. But I really don't think there should be too many call-ups. I think they should let NXT develop some more and develop some of these guys for a couple of years. And we think about it. Look at some of the guys that stayed down there for a while and who have developed. They're a little bit better. And, you know, Aleister Black was on the indie scene for a while. Let him stay down there because you can't put him up on the main roster. He has no place. Let this be a triple threat or whatever you want to do with it with Ciampa. Let him and Ciampa go back and forth. Let Aleister Black's character show his dark side, per se. I remember the night when he debuted. And if you get me wrong, and you'll correct me if it's just a year, didn't he debut when we was in Texas? Or he debuted a year after that? And I can't remember. I remember because we were sitting in the seats. We saw him get on the board. We saw him come up, and we was together at the NXT show, and I can't remember which one it was.
And who was that again? Who was
Aleister Black. I can't remember when he actually debuted in NXT. I remember us sitting there looking over and seeing him lay down, and they popped the board up.
That's Aleister. No. That was Orlando last year.
Orlando.
So, yeah, because that was – he just had a match. He just had a match on the UK Championship.
Mm-hmm.
He had just had a match there, and then he was at TakeOver Orlando.
Right, and so that when he came out the first match, that's the intensity. I don't see that now, and it may not be him.
It seems like something fell flat, and I don't think it's necessarily him, or maybe I don't know. Something fell off because he was getting pushed to the moon, and he was, and then all of a sudden, it was just like, oh, okay,
yeah, something happened somewhere down the line. Something stopped, you know. Aleister Black. So we got a new champion there, which is Tommaso Ciampa. I see him holding it for a while. I see him holding it from Brooklyn. I can see Chicago. I can see him holding it for a long time. Being the NXT champion, and I can see him and Johnny's feud keep going for a long time as well. Neither one of those guys need to be called up, but nonetheless, let's move on to the main roster, Monday Night Raw. This last month, Monday Night Raw was built around Brock Lesnar. It was built, if you missed Monday Night Raw, it was built around Brock Lesnar. Was he going to come out, not come out? Was Paul Heyman going to get fired? Wasn't Paul Heyman going to get fired? And I don't know about you, Wizard, but I really enjoy how they're making the Roman and Brock Lesnar storyline fresh again, new, add new twist to it. Look at the social media, look on the internet, everybody's talking about Paul Heyman's going to jump. I don't think Paul Heyman's jumping to Roman Reigns. I think Brock and Paul will be fine because Brock has always been with Paul. I think they got an understanding, and I don't know what WWE's doing, but we're going to sit back and watch and make SummerSlam interesting or make you buy into it. Because of this Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar situation. Your thoughts on what you saw on this past Monday night with Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman.
Something different. Something I wasn't expecting. Something I wasn't expecting at all, actually. I didn't think they were... It's almost like... Because, you know, people had those theories of, oh, Heyman's going to turn on Roman. I mean, Heyman's going to turn on Brock and join up with Roman. You hear that a lot. And it was kind of like they were almost debunking that or throwing a big old curveball in there to make you think, oh, well, I don't know what's going to happen. Because at this point, I was starting to believe, in which I still believe it, Brock holds on to it and goes to UFC and wins the UFC Heavyweight Championship. I really believe Dana and Vince are like, okay, we're going to both eat off of Brock Lesnar. Like, I really think that's where it is. I'm not going to say that UFC is predetermined. I'm not. But it sure does feel like they really want to make sure that Brock is featured in UFC. And I really think that they're going to do Brock. And they're going to try to make it that Brock's Universal Champion and UFC Champion. I really do.
We got to wait at least till January. I can see him losing it before then and picking it back up at the Rumble. I can't imagine. And I'm a big Brock fan. You know, I've said that on a lot of shows. I think Brock should hang on to it, but I don't see the way the fans are and the way the company's going. I think they have to let it off, get off Brock somehow. I like Brock. I don't think the title can be off of TV until January. You know, and I don't know Brock's dates or what he's coming up and what he's next contractually obligated to come up to show up. But I think they get it off of him here. I think Roman wins, but I don't think Roman walks out at SummerSlam as champion, if that makes sense.
That may very well be the case. I can give you that.
You know, and so I agree. I think Brock, Vince and Dana are in cahoots. I think when that fight happens between him and Daniel Cormier or him and John Jones, that Vince McMahon will have his hand out, Dana White will have his hand out, and everybody will get a good payday.
Yeah, absolutely agree.
Everybody will get a good pay. Hey, you man, your girl picked up the win the other night on Monday Night Raw. Alicia Fox gets the W over Natalya, and she will take on Ronda Rousey. Now, I like this because if you do not know, Alicia Fox got into it with Ronda Rousey's husband on WrestleMania weekend, which is one of the reasons Alicia may not, a company may not agree to it. Nobody may say. But this is what I believe one of the reasons that we had not seen Alicia Fox on TV for a while because the company was not happy with Alicia Fox. If you watch the video of Alicia Fox going on Travis Brown, it was PR people from WWE telling Alicia, stop it. Alicia kept continuing to go on as the young lady tried to push her off or tell her to stop it. Alicia Fox tried to grab the camera of the person who was filming. And whatever Travis Brown said, whatever Ronda Rousey's husband said, it was not caught on tape. So all it did was make Alicia Fox and the company look bad. And this has a lot of storyline into it. And as I talked to somebody earlier, and they said, well, Alicia Fox is going against Ronda Rousey. I said, guess what? Alicia Fox is not going to try to shoot on Ronda Rousey. No way.
Let's get one thing clear with that. That's the absolute last thing anybody is going to do with her. I wish somebody would try to shoot on Ronda. They'll be slapping themselves with their own arm at that point.
Yeah. And not only that, slapping themselves with their own arm, and they will be out of a job as if they worked for the Washington Nationals. You don't go against management.
Man, anyone getting to that. But Ronda, I think I think it may be safe to say they covet Ronda just as much, if not more, than Charlotte. I think Charlotte's the only other one on that plateau where whatever you do, you cannot mess with them.
Yeah.
I think everybody else is expendable except those two.
I totally agree with you, and I think this is good for Ronda because we all know, and we said it on this show a lot, Alicia mm-hmm. Fox is a good worker, and you said it, and I always, after you said it, I thought about it. When they want to get somebody over, or they want to get somebody to see how well they work, they put them in the ring with Alicia Fox.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She's been there, what, 11 years now?
11 years. She has tenure in that locker room. I think she's been there longer than Natalya, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think Natalya came in shortly after Alicia. I think Alicia is the longest tenured woman on the roster right now, without a break, because there's Mickie James, but
right,
you know, yeah, but without a break, it's Alicia Fox.
It's Alicia Fox. So, you know, and she's a good hand, if you want to say that. I guess you can call mm-hmm. a woman a good hand, right? Yeah, she's a good hand.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's a good hand, and so we see Alicia Fox taking on Ronda Rousey next Monday night on Monday Night Raw. I want to get to this one, and I want your thoughts on this. This Sasha Banks and Bayley situation, is it confusing to you, or do you get it? Because are they off again, on again, off again, on again?
Here's the thing. So I think what may have happened, in which it could still end up being one turns on the other. It could still end up being that. But the other side of you is thinking, yo, they just ran so long with this without a payoff that they just said, forget it, and we're just going to put them together. That's honestly what I think it could have went down to. But the other side of me definitely is like, okay, somebody's getting ready to turn. But in the interim, I wouldn't be surprised if it was just like, okay, we let it run so long without a payoff, let's just put them back together. And I think it's because Ronda is such a force in the sense of her being a babyface. She's such a force in the ring that she's definitely the top babyface on the roster, period, as far as, you know, women. She's definitely the top. So at this point, there's no focus on Bayley and Sasha. So now you got to run with them. The only thing I can think of is if they're making a women's tag title, that's it.
And that's what I was going to say. Our friend of the program, and you can go check out his podcast, I Break It Down with Brian H. That's what he mentioned on his podcast, that he thinks it's going to be a tag team division. My only issue with that situation is you have to do it for both brands. And I don't think you have both brands are stocked enough to have a tag team division.
That belt would have to be both brands.
Yeah.
In which, unfortunately, if you do that, that opens the door that I don't think they want open. Because remember, with the first time they did the brand split, in the very beginning of it, the world title, the tag titles, and the world title, the tag titles, and the women's title went between shows.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Because the tag champions were on Raw and SmackDown. And the women's champion and the world champion.
Right. I agree.
I don't think they want to go down.
I don't think, Sydney, I agree with JR. The more titles you have, the less the other titles are special.
Yeah, absolutely.
To me, I think you create more titles like giving kids trophies just because they participated.
Very true.
So call me a bad parent. I think you should earn something before you get something.
I agree.
Yeah. But then we get a big win by Apollo Crews. Apollo Crews get a win. Titus O'Neil on Monday Night Raw as well. Drew McIntyre takes on Seth Rollins, which I like this. Seth Rollins getting a win. I like Drew McIntyre. I think he is a champion in the company. I think he will be a world champion one day. That's why I think it's important that Brock loses the title, because these guys will get an opportunity. They have a better shot. Drew McIntyre had a better shot beating a Roman Reigns than he would if it was Brock Lesnar. Seth Rollins have a better chance of beating a Roman Reigns as if it was Brock Lesnar. A Finn Balor has a better chance of beating Roman Reigns than a Brock Lesnar. Even if you go Braun Strowman, I think Braun Strowman has a better chance of beating Roman Reigns than he does Brock Lesnar. Because Brock is a beast, but I think the company will not write it like that. that these guys would get over on Brock Lesnar. And then we take a shift.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. I'm thinking about, yeah, you're right. Go ahead. You're right.
And then this is what I love. I love this because I think these guys is way overdue, and I think they will be the next tag team champions. And I know you were a big fan of those in NXT. And I shout out to you, and not because I'm you and my co-host and we blowing smoke up each other's butt, but you were one of the first few people out here to talk about the Revival.
Yep.
When nobody else really knew who the Revival was. And was talking about the Revival, but they come up, they injury prone, but I think now is the time for the Revival to be tag team champions.
So glad we're touching on that. Thank you because that's the first thing I saw when I saw them come out on Monday. I was like, yes, finally, they're not giving up on the Revival. I really felt at some point, in which, you know, sometimes you just gotta trust WWE creative, as weird as that sounds. For a moment, I got discouraged because I really thought they forgot about Revival. And when I saw them, I was like, oh, yes, thank you. They're going to be tag team champions. They absolutely will. And arguably, yeah, I'm sure you can make a point for others. They're the best tag team on the roster, period. They're the best tag team. And I'm happy now that WWE didn't give up on them because of the injuries. And they're going to give them a chance. So I'm ready for this. I'm ready for this. They're the top guys for a reason. And here's the thing. When you're that good and you're a pure tag team, they're going to give you your due.
Yeah. And I think this is what makes me like it. One is the Revival. Two, Revival winning opens, again, same thing with the world title picture. I mean, the universal title picture. It opens up the door from other tag teams. We may get the Revival and Arthur Payne AOP again. You see what I'm saying? And you get Revival. Even Revival and Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy is pretty decent. I like the B team. Don't get me wrong. B team is a good comedic tag team, but they're not New Day. And right. How long can they keep this going with these guys being the tag team champions? They had a good run. I think it's fun. I think it's funny. But at the same time, these guys can get beat. You only can cheat the win, but so much. If you don't believe me, go back and look at the Eddie Guerrero and Chavo Guerrero stuff. They were the only tag team champions for a certain period of time.
Yep.
So you can only get lucky and cheat the win, but so much before that gimmick gets old. And I think that's what's going to happen with the B team. It's going to get old. They sold some merch. They became the tag team champions, which is fine, and which I think had a lot to do with Bray Wyatt being injured in a car automobile accident more so than the B team. But that, nonetheless, B teams are the champions. I think the Revival being tag universe, being Raw tag team champions, is inevitable. Let's get to this, and I want you really to opinion. Three things from SmackDown which really caught my eye. One, the first thing was Samoa Joe and his promo on AJ Styles. Your thoughts on that?
I think that was an attempt. I think that was an attempt to really try to make Joe the heel. Because he's getting reactions that, okay, we're supposed to really be behind AJ as the face 100%. And it's not taking away from AJ or saying that AJ is lacking. Because AJ is no pun intended. I was literally about to. AJ is phenomenal. And there was no pun intended. But it just felt natural to say. But AJ is phenomenal. He's doing an absolutely wonderful job as champion, and just period. But Joe has that same kind of following from the fans, that fans like him legitimately. So it's like, we got to do something to make Joe the heel. Because Joe's going to get, especially in Brooklyn, he's going to get a face reaction. Both of them are. So that's what I think of that promo. That promo was used as an attempt to make him the heel, like truly a heel.
Yeah, and I think you said something that was key, that they know they're going to Brooklyn, and both of these guys are respected in that city. They're going to be, not only that, but when you get to Brooklyn and get to SummerSlam, they are smart wrestling fans in the arena that night. You know, you could count on, there's three pay-per-views out of the year that you know that you're going to have the real smart wrestling fan. WrestleMania, SummerSlam and the Royal Rumble, in my opinion. You're going to have the real smart wrestling fan at those pay-per-views. So you need to put on shows where the real smart wrestling fans will understand what it is. And WWE has stepped their game up to try to get you to boo Samoa Joe. And because AJ Styles, let's be honest, AJ Styles has a lot of fans in the house, in any house he goes to. There will be cheers for AJ Styles, and people love him. And so that's one of the things there.
And they cheer for Joe, too.
They cheer for Joe because Joe's real. Joe connects to the people. They like Joe because his promos are what you're thinking at home.
Yep.
And that's why Joe is so over. And then he backs it up and puts you to sleep.
Absolutely.
He's that Samoan thug. You know, he was Roman. He's what Roman should be. But that's another topic for another day. Other thing that parted out, the main point that came to me on watching SmackDown was the interaction between Daniel Bryan and The Miz, which we the theme of this SmackDown was personal. You know, they're making things personal when you hear people promos. Daniel Bryan and The Miz, personal promo, Miz coming out, hey, dude, let your contract run out, basically. Let your contract end, you go back to the Indies and make money. That's it. I'm the champion. Oh, I'm the man here. I've been here when you was gone. You was crying. All this other stuff. You thought you weren't going to wrestle. I was here. I love this Miz. And I don't know why people keep crapping on The Miz. The Miz is awesome. He's 100% legit at what he does. He has turned the corner to being a professional wrestler much more than an entertainer.
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking about that today with Miz. I said he has himself on the level now that he's virtually untouchable. He brings in so many avenues of he opens so many avenues to people outside of being a wrestling fan. He really has, if it's ever been seen before in somebody, he really has that it factor. Like, he always hits on every cylinder every time. He's been knocking it out the park the last 10 years. I mean, he's had little stretches where he kind of fell flat a little. And honestly, it wasn't his fault, particularly his run as a face. He just fell flat. They turned him face at a time where there was really nobody for him to feud with that was a heel. You know, like there was nobody for him to feud with. So it kind of fell flat. But, you know, he turns heel again and he does his thing. He's their best guy. He really is. Ziggler, off the top of my head, Bryan, Ziggler, McIntyre, Owens, right off the top of my head, those are their players right there.
Yeah, and that's a good class to have, and that's not a bad group. That is a tremendous group, and all those guys are workers, and all those guys have put in work with IC Championship and different championships to bring back notoriety to the IC Championship. I think Daniel Bryan and The Miz feud is going to be good. It's been making ever since SmackDown pre-show or post-show, talking smack, when The Miz just went off. And that's been, you know, everybody talked about that. And Miz went off on Daniel Bryan, you know, because Miz said he was upset the fact that he wasn't on the card. He should be upset he wasn't on the card, you know. And I think The Miz is bringing realism back into professional wrestling with promos like that. The other thing that got me scratching my head, and a lot of people may disagree with me, I don't agree with Charlotte Flair being in a triple threat with Carmelo and Becky Lynch. I know that match is going to take place.
I only agree with it because I think they're going to turn Becky heel. That's the only reason why I agree with it. This is your avenue to do.
If they're going to do that, that's fine. You know, do it. You know, Carmelo, to me, Carmelo loses her title without being pinned. And we're not giving predictions here yet, but I just think this just adds more to me when you just – Charlotte's been hurt. Good, that's fine. She throws her in the mix. You know, she gets thrown into the mix real quick because of Carmella. I just think I let Becky Lynch get her shine. You built Becky Lynch up. She went through her losing streak. She got back on the road. She started winning, and now you can throw Charlotte in the mix. Maybe with it, and you help me out. Maybe they're setting up something for Evolution already.
Sure. There's long-term stuff happening. We're gonna start seeing stuff because October will be here before we know it. So I see that happening right now.
Yeah, definitely see that happen. And the next thing was we had Randy Orton, Jeff Hardy getting the beat down. Jeff Hardy getting the beat down by Nakamura and Randy Orton, which I thought was good TV there. Good TV. Jeff Hardy said he wants the title with Nakamura and Orton beat up, and they just start beating the living piss out of Jeff Hardy. And no one helps Jeff Hardy. Your thoughts on this?
I think this is one of those situations where, for the advancement of the storyline, it shouldn't be anybody helping. And I just think it's something about that chemistry with Hardy and Orton. They work well together. You don't see it too often because, you know, Jeff hasn't really been there like that. But Jeff, because of Jeff's way, is like, he's one of those guys that's just the uber baby face. Like, even when they tried to turn him heel in WWE back in like 2003, it just didn't come off. And that part of that probably was because Jeff was just not as committed as he is now. But the guy's just so over as a face, it's not believable turning him heel. It wasn't even believable in TNA. I mean, he did it. He did a good job with it, but it wasn't even believable then. So it's like Jeff Hardy can work with that ultimate heel, and Orton, it just seems like at this point they know. I think with Orton, they have the confidence in AJ. That they have the confidence in AJ and they got Daniel Bryan back, that they didn't need Randy Orton as a face. Because with Cena gone, I think that's why you had Orton as a face for so long. Because it's like, okay, we don't have Cena. We've got to sell tickets at these house shows. So you book it as Randy Orton. But now you have AJ Styles, you have Daniel Bryan, you're good on faces. As far as two top ticket selling faces, you have two of them right there. So I don't think you. Yeah, and you know, with Orton, Shinsuke, and Miz, you pretty much have it covered heel wise.
Mm hmm.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, you do. All three of those guys are top heels in their respective, you know, and on SmackDown. That would make SmackDown so great because you can interchange. The characters, you know, we can run a Miz promo and you still get the heelish feel. Or Nakamura, I speak no English, you know, get the heel. When you come to Randy Orton, you're going to get the physicality and then the Viper's back, the intensity that he brings as the heel Randy Orton, which you didn't see too much of when he was face Randy Orton. You know, it was fun because he's the age of RKOs out of nowhere and all that stuff was going on.
So, here's my thing with Orton. They can't flip-flop this again with him being face-heel, face-heel.
Because he needs to ride out for the rest of his career.
Yeah. They kind of did it to where, if you remember back in kind of 2014, 2015, they kept flip-flopping him. He face-heel, face-heel. You know, they even did it when he feuded with Bray. Mm-hmm. It's like he was, you know, granted, it always all looked like a plan, but he was flip-flopping then. And it's like, at this point, Randy just needs to be push value in the sense, not that he's washed up, but in the sense that he's your top heel, pretty much, behind Miz.
He's your top heel. Let the guys follow him. Let them continue to give him dance partners, which is good, in the ring. Right now, we'll see him and Jeff Hardy, which I think that goes into SummerSlam, might even go into Survivor Series.
Thank you. You're right. You know what? You just made me think about something. Thank you, Glenn. This is why you're you. Doug, your other face, when I said AJ and Daniel Bryan, you're the face of Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
So you're good. Like I said, you have Miz, Shinsuke, and Randy Orton. You've got AJ, Daniel Bryan, and Jeff Hardy. You're
good. And you got your betweeners that people are gonna cheer and boo, like seeing Almas. They don't like him or boo
Hey
him.
Man, listen. Almas, they're gonna make him WWE champion. I absolutely see that.
I think so. You got your other guys who's in between, which Rusev, Aiden English. Those are your tweeners. People are gonna cheer and boo. You're not gonna get one or the other with those guys. You know, and the guys mm-hmm. that we mentioned earlier, you're gonna get a straight up. With Randy Orton, you know what you're gonna get. You're gonna get booze. If he's heel Orton, you get booze. With Shinsuke Nakamura, since they changed his music, you're gonna get booze. You know what he's doing. He's done a heck of a job getting away from where everybody's now singing to his song. Now you still have a few, but you don't have as many as you used to have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and with the Miz, people are gonna boo the Miz. You know, especially after him throwing a baby and going on. You can't be cheered when you go against the Golden Boy, which is Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, absolutely. And
he's the Golden Boy in the corner. And we really think about it, it's a hold up show. The reason people hate Roman Reigns because it wasn't Daniel Bryan, and Roman Reigns never lived that down. And still hasn't lived that down from that night, you know. So that's one of the things there. I mean, good week in professional wrestling so far for this week. A lot of things going on. We're closer October where you will get the chance to get, you know, 2K19 WWE. We talked about the Ric Flair box. Was it you getting one? The Ric Flair. I'm gonna try to.
I think I want that. I think I want that ring that's in there. Honestly.
Yeah. The deluxe set, Ric Flair deluxe set for 2K19, WWE 2K19. Well, you get a replica Hall of Fame ring. You get pieces of Ric Flair robe. It's just go check it out. There's a lot of stuff in there for the price. If you're a wrestling fan, there's a lot in there for the price. Some people just want to memorabilia. They don't even play video games. They just want the Ric Flair stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot of people like that.
So let's real quick before we wrap this one up. We got some matches that have been named for the card. We know Becky Lynch is going to take on Charlotte and Carmella. Mm-hmm. We know Brock Lesnar is going to take on Roman Reigns. We know that it hasn't been announced, but we can almost assume that you'll have Daniel Bryan taking on The Miz, and we will get AJ Styles taking on Samoa Joe.
And there's one you left out, and this was important too because it may change the direction of storylines.
Oh, like, Alexa Bliss taking on Ronda Rousey.
Nope, that wasn't even the one. Braun Strowman versus Kevin Owens for the Money in the Bank.
Yes, Braun Strowman takes Kevin Owens for the Money in the Bank briefcase, which could change storylines. We haven't seen this one since Edge beat Mr. Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
Where the Money in the Bank briefcase has been online. If you're listening to us, go check that out. Mr. Kennedy was injured, and Edge had to get the briefcase off of Mr. Kennedy. And he never really recovered from that, neither.
Yeah, sure didn't.
Never really recovered that. He was on his way to become the world, on his way to be the WWE champion at that
time.
Well,
he almost caught another shot in the sense of being McMahon's son. He messed that up, too.
Messed that one up too. He, that one right there. Anytime you want to be the Mr. McMahon's son, or you want to be the chosen one, whatever you want to be, when the boss man wants to attach himself to you, you don't get hurt. Try not to get hurt.
Yeah.
Try not to get hurt, yo.
Or suspended.
Yeah, definitely. Make sure your stuff is clean. WWE right now is moving in a good direction. Wrestling is moving in a good direction as a whole. So I don't see too many things that the WWE people are still complaining about 3 hours. Look, 3 hours it is. The first hour is what it is on Monday Night Raw. Some people don't watch it. They wait till 9 o'clock to watch it. SmackDown do have a more consistent viewership on Tuesday night. But I think a lot of that contributing to weather, weekend, time, people, Monday Night Football is getting ready to come on. It just does a lot of different things. And I think you will see WWE Monday Night Raw pick up its steam just a little bit as we get a new champion. I think getting a new champion after SummerSlam will help Monday Night Raw.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Hey, was it, take us home.
Hey, if you're not confirmed, consider yourself denied.
In the story, ladies and gentlemen, good night.